Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition, another draft edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. Coming to you for our first time ever live. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, my name is Joe Kuzma, and boy, are we delivering this week, folks. I got some more surprises for you right here, live and in living color. Not only a one Mr. Brian E. Roach, but also his arch nemesis. Flash, Zach Celadonia. Brian, I know it's past your bedtime, buddy, but hey, how's it going?
It's all right, you know. The draft day, I'm okay. I'm not thrilled, but I'm okay.
Yeah, and Zach, I don't know, man. It wasn't exactly the pick that you wanted either, but we're here. We made it. We're all the way through the draft. Well, not all the way through the draft, but all the way through the first round. My heart was pounding. You're still alive, though. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm all in. I'm all in on Kenny Pickett. I'm so psyched. He's the future. So pumped. He's our guy. That's what we need. Kenny Pickett. I'm all in.
All right. Sounds good, man. Let's talk a little bit about this. This whole entire offseason is absolutely bonkers, isn't it? Like, how do you even begin with this? The Jacksonville Jaguars, they weren't even sure who they were going to end up taking in this draft, I don't think, up until like the last second or whatever. And then it was like the Detroit Lions just ran right up to the podium. And you go from there. Did anyone actually think that there were going to be five before, was it the Giants that first took an offensive lineman? Five defensive players in a row, first time since what, like 1991? I did not expect to see that happening. Just so we have a little order of things, because we know how this goes. Brian, you could speak first, my friend.
I absolutely thought that would happen. There was the only chance was an offensive lineman sneaking in high, but I didn't think that was going to be the case. I expected, you know, the edge guys to go. I expected maybe a corner to go. We knew it was going to be a defensive heavy draft. It didn't surprise me. The only surprise was whether they were going to take Hutchinson first, and then they didn't do it. And the Lions just went yippee-ki-yay and were very happy.
Yeah. And Zach, I mean, we talked about a little bit with this and, got a little more validation from some outside sources as far as the quarterback classes and what could end up happening there. And you know what? We hit the nail on the head there too, I think, but it was how's the best way to say this? You had to wait until pick six, I guess, to really know where the draft was going to begin. How were you feeling when the Panthers were on the clock? Were you like, oh, geez, don't take Pickett, don't take Malik Willis? Where were you?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. I was saying that for probably their pick, the Panthers pick, the Falcons pick, and the Saints pick, both of their picks. I was saying that over and over again. Don't take Malik. Don't take Pickett. Don't take Ridder. Well, Ridder not as much because I didn't think he would go that early, but pretty much Malik and Pickett, I really wanted to see what would happen if both of them fell to us. And that's what happened. And they ended up picking Pickett. That's a Freudian slip, baby. But no, I'm excited about Pickett. And when I saw that the top 10 teams didn't pick a quarterback, I thought at that point it was 100% sure we were picking a quarterback. I thought that beforehand, but as soon as that happened, it was like, well, there's 0% chance we don't pick a quarterback, and I don't have any problem with who they picked at this point.
Yeah, I think we were all kind of on board with that as soon as Terrell Edmonds re-signed that contract about a week ago. It became a little more obvious, but I don't think it was obvious that Kenny Pickett was always going to be available at pick 20. And as we go through and take a look at some of the picks from the very top of the draft. Obviously, Jaguars take Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson to the Lions. Derek Stingley Jr., was that the first real surprise of the draft at pick 3 to the Texans? I was kind of surprised that he was chosen over Ahmad Sauce Gardner. And feel free to chime in whenever you'd like, folks. We're paying attention to the chat here, and we'll get to some of these comments too that are rifling in. But same with you guys. I mean, how exciting is this? This is almost like a dream team right here. This is like the draft happening, having Brian and Zach. I mean, it took forever to get Zach here on video. It took forever to get me on video originally, and now all three of us here in the Hollywood Squares. Ikem Ekwonu, or I'm sorry, I skipped over Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm sorry, it wasn't the Giants. The Panthers were the ones that went tackle. I had my cousin blowing up my phone the whole night. I was trying to avoid spoilers. And Ikem Ekwonu goes to the Panthers. I said they could go tackle. Then the Giants went with Evan Neal from Alabama. The Falcons, he had to get past the Falcons as well. Drake London, wide receiver. Don't know who's going to throw him the ball, but that's aside from the point. They needed some talent. Charles Cross goes into the top 10 to the Seattle Seahawks. And then Brian, one of the Buckeyes, Garrett Wilson. In fact, a trifecta of wide receivers go off the board here. The Jets take Garrett Wilson. The Saints move up. And then I know, like, everybody's their butthole starts to clench kind of like this, right? And you're like, oh, geez, the Saints. It was like when we were running these mock drafts, what teams were always in the way, and it was always like the Saints almost the entire time, unless it was something crazy like the Lions taking a quarterback with the second pick overall. But anyways, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams over to the Lions, who trade in, and then the Eagles are trading, and we like this one because they went and took Jordan Davis, not necessarily because they took him off the board. It was so the Baltimore Ravens didn't get to do Ravens things.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know what, Brian? Ravens still got to do Ravens things, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They didn't get Jordan Davis, but they got the whatever his name is. I can't remember.
Kyle Hamilton. Safety
from Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame, who, you know, it's interesting because you remember in one of the mocks we did, we talked about the fact that if he was at that point, should the Steelers try and make a move up, like, because that's not as nearly as extravagant a move. But they weren't moving. I mean, you know, as that draft started to play out, and we saw it the other day when we were doing these mocks, all the quarterbacks were just there. Nobody was grabbing them. Nobody. Yeah. Only on a rare occasion somebody would grab one in the top 10 in those mocks that we ran. You just knew where it was going.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach, you know, I think we were talking about that too. You were like, we were talking about the typical Ravens type of moves, and they actually got two of them here in the draft. First with Kyle Hamilton, and then Tyler Linderbaum a little bit later on as they traded away Hollywood Brown and another draft pick in order to jump back into the first round.
What a steal, man. What a steal that was. Arizona, I'm sorry, Arizona got fleeced.
I think so. I think so as well.
Yeah, Baltimore is like a really well-run franchise, and they make a lot of smart moves. I hate them so much because they're so much like us, but I hate them so much. And when I saw them make the trade for Hollywood Brown, it was funny because I never like felt like that pick was going to work out really that much with the way their offenses ran. And to see them trade him away, it's funny. But at the same time, it's like, well, damn, they were smart enough to trade him away. So I guess they get points for that.
Yeah, and you talk about a guy who drops a lot of passes. He's certainly a lot worse than Deontay Johnson. And I have to address somebody that's in the chat, fellas, because they're like, they're trying to compare the Steelers organization to the Pirates. Just stop it. It's just it's nowhere near Bob Nutting and what they do. My goodness, that payroll, the three of us could probably come up with the Pirates payroll. I don't know that we're going to compete with that.
Why are they the Pirates? What makes them like the Pirates?
No, it's not necessarily that they like the Pirates. They don't like the pick, of course. So we should go find the mean tweets thing. I said we saw that earlier with the Josh Allen one that the Buffalo Bills put out, and it was a complete roast fest, which was pretty awesome, I must say. So let's pull through a little bit further. I mean, I said I would sympathize with the pick because if you're trying to get a quarterback, this is like the Najee Harris pick last year. It's the exact same situation. You have your pick of the litter. You go after the guy if he's there. You're not going to wait until the second or third round and hope that somebody sticks around. I know Brian's still got the... Is something in your teeth there, my friend?
It's like, I understand the point. I understand why they did what they did. I understand what you're saying. My take is still that there was not a first-round quarterback in this draft. There was nobody that they should have taken. And that's the way I felt. I said it from the beginning. Now I was completely resigned to the fact that they were going to take a quarterback. I knew they were going to take a quarterback. I still don't like it. And that's why I said I would have been okay with Malik because of potential upside. He can sit. He can grow. We'll see. I will be, as I said to Zach earlier, I will be completely supportive of Kenny Pickett. I will be behind Kenny Pickett in ways that I never supported Mason Rudolph and still do not. I will support Kenny Pickett.
I'll have a question here for Zach too here in a
second. Mark Malone. That's all I'm going to say. Mark Malone.
You know, that's
the way that this has gone. Steelers draft who? Terry Bradshaw, first round pick, draft quarterback, Hall of Famer. Next first round pick quarterback, Mark Malone, potentially one of the worst quarterbacks they ever had.
I know who Mark Malone, Arizona State. I know who Mark Malone is. I know.
Well, that's okay, Brian. On last night's show with Lee Steinberg, who was an awesome guest, I can't thank enough for joining us. He actually mentioned Neil O'Donnell, who was one of his former clients, and with somebody like that, like I just didn't want to bring it up. That you know, I'm sorry, Lee. But we don't mention those names here. We just can't do it.
Running pick for Neil O'Donnell makes me so happy. It's so freaking funny to me, dude. I was like 1 year old when that happened, but it's so funny to me seeing Brian getting so jacked up over Neil O'Donnell. It's hilarious.
Stop saying the name.
Okay, so some more picks here. Of course, I said Jordan Davis and then Kyle Hamilton, 14 to the Baltimore Ravens, Kenyon Green, 15 to the Texans. And you had some more maneuvering because the Commanders had moved back, the Chargers stayed put, the Titans jumped back into this picture, and you're like, oh, great. Could they possibly get – everybody's so quarterback want or needy, you know what I mean? It seems like everything's – quarterback driven, but we weren't sure with this class. So you have the Titans at 18 and the Saints at 19 that the Steelers had to dodge. And it was as soon as the Tennessee Titans picked Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, wide receiver at 18, it was like, well, I think they're going to have their pick of at least one of two guys because a lot of people were linking Kenny Pickett to the Saints. And it was like, well, it's either going to be Pickett or it's going to be Willis, depending on which way they go. And of course, we all knew the Saints were just going to stand pat with Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, and Andy Dalton. So,
Mr. Fourth Down.
But this is the exact situation that the Steelers were in last year with Najee Harris, and everybody hated that at the time. And I'm going to tell you why I ended up being okay with quarterback at 20, because we remember we mocked the mocks when it was Desmond Ridder at like 8. Trading with the Falcons or whatever, or Matt Corral at 10 for some of these just insane mock draft trades that we saw. And I didn't want to give up capital. I didn't want to give up anything that would jeopardize the future of this team. And a lot of us were talking about, well, next year might be a better draft class. Well, maybe they pull like the Arizona Cardinals thing. You made a mistake. The very next year, you take another first round quarterback if nothing ends up working out. But we'll talk a little bit about that with Kenny Pickett because they had their pick here. And it was funny. Did you guys get to see Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin grinning like the Cheshire Cats that they were? And they said that they had a much, much higher. And Mike Tomlin was like, I don't know. Is he like had too much coffee or something? And he was up a little later than usual. He had the biggest grin on his face and including the call that went out to Kenny Pickett as well. But before we talk about Kenny Pickett, the quarterback pick here at 20, let's see what the rest of the draft ended up panning out like. We have the Kansas City Chiefs jump in at 21. We still had so many maneuvers. Like there's very few teams that actually just stayed put with their original picks throughout this draft. It's kind of crazy to look at. It's like, well, pick 16 with the Commanders was from Indianapolis via Philadelphia via New Orleans, which is kind of crazy. So anyways, Trent McDuffie, corner from Washington. Quay Walker goes to the Green Bay Packers. Kair Elam goes to the Buffalo Bills at 23. Dallas Cowboys take Tyler Smith, tackle from Tulsa. And then the one that we didn't like was Tyler Linderbaum to the Ravens, which I could stomach a little bit more than if he would have made it down to 31 to the Bengals, perhaps. But Zach, you hit that pick with the Bengals. You hit the nail right on the head, buddy. They end up going with the safety anyways. And one of the two that we liked did not make it out of round one. We always knew Kyle Hamilton was probably going to be there. So anyways, let's see. Tyler Linderbaum, Jermaine Johnson. Talk about the Jets. What a crazy draft it was for them as well. They end up hitting on Ahmad Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and Jermaine Johnson at 26 as they jump back into the first round. The Jaguars do the same for Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah. And then Brian, your guy, Devontae Wyatt goes to the Green Bay Packers at 28. Cole Strange as the Patriots slide back to take a guard from Chattanooga.
Can I just talk about that one for a second?
Yeah, sure.
What is the deal with the New England Patriots and first round picks and just losing their damn mind? This guy from Tennessee, Chattanooga, they moved to get him.
Well, they moved back.
Well, yeah, but still in the first round, probably a guy they could have gotten any time tomorrow. And they're like, well, we're going to take him first round. Because what Bill Belichick's just like, first round pick isn't worth anything anyway. Normally I just trade them away. I may as well just get rid of it. Nobody wants to move back again, so I'll waste it on a guy I could get tomorrow.
he thought it was Stephen Strange, not Cole Strange. He got confused.
He's been watching the preview for, you know, the Multiverse of Madness. That's what it is.
I mean, really, really, and truthfully here, Patriots sometimes just do the oddest things and don't always hit on their first round picks either. Belichick is not known as a draft genius. So let me see. Where was I at? George Karlaftis from Purdue, defensive end to the Chiefs. Daxton Hill to the Bengals. Dum, dum, dum. That was one of the guys we really liked, Zach. And yeah. I don't call you Zach Adonia like Brian does, but it's starting to get in my head. It's late and we're getting loopy, but you hit the nail on the head when they couldn't land Terrell Edmonds and they were sniffing around for the honey badger, Tyrann Mathieu, and they didn't get either. They were looking for another safety. And then, of course, Lewis Cine, the other guy that we talked about quite a bit, safety from Georgia, one of many Georgia defenders that were off the board here in the first round, to the Minnesota Vikings at pick 32. Yep. I don't know. I see the value in taking Pickett where he was. It's not to say that any of these other teams may not have. This was a very defensive-heavy draft. I liked Linderbaum, and I really liked Jermaine Johnson, but I don't just know if he's like if he would have been the right fit, but the value, tremendous, even 20 all the way down to 26. And I know we liked Devontae Wyatt as well. So, guys, let's go with the Flash first because, Brian, we've been talking a lot more. Give him a little bit of air time. Zach, is there anybody else you would have preferred other than Malik Willis or another quarterback? Would you have went any other position here at 20 for the Steelers?
Well, maybe I would have considered cornerback, possibly, or receiver. But no, I felt like after we got to us and there were no quarterbacks selected, I thought it was pretty much a shoo-in. They were going to pick a quarterback. So I was prepared for that, and I was surprised, honestly, that they picked Kenny Pickett over Malik. And but I'm okay with it because I said a bunch of times with you that I thought that they were really interested in either Malik, Kenny Pickett, or Desmond Ridder more than anybody, and they ended up picking it. They ended up picking Kenny Pickett.
You were so sold. You're so sold on Willis. You already had his jersey on order, probably like a Steelers custom or something. You were trying to guess his number, bitch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Absolutely. He was the number one choice. That's who I wanted the most. But I was still okay with Kenny Pickett. He was in the top three of guys who I thought they were actually interested in, and guys that I actually thought that I would be okay with on different levels, of course. Like, I was really excited for Malik Sealing, but I still like the fact that Kenny Pickett is ready to go right now, and he showed progression throughout his college career. And just because that his final year in college was his best year, it doesn't mean that his ceiling has been met. That's the whole thing that I was thinking about the other day, because I do like Pickett. And the whole thing is that, like, oh, well, he doesn't have a high ceiling like Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder. Well, who's determining that? Because if you're really tracking what he's done, he's gotten better each year and each year and each year and each year. And his final year, I mean, I hate to, people do this all the time and people roll their eyes, but that's exactly what happened with Joe Burrow. Is like his final year in college, he was like the man. And just because that was when he finally got it, you've seen what he's done. So I don't feel like Kenny Pickett, just because it took him this long to get it and make him an elite quarterback, means he's necessarily met his threshold. If that like makes sense, that long-winded point.
No, it makes sense. It's not going to make sense to Brian, because I'm going to ask Brian the same question. Brian, would you have gone a different
direction? Tiny hands, dude. I mean, he played at Heinz Field, which is here already. That's the same field the Steelers play at.
It did not increase his hand size. But it take tiny hands out of the equation, okay?
Okay.
I could have gotten – I would have taken Devontae Wyatt. I would have taken Lindebaum. I would have taken
– Even with the issues with Wyatt's, like, uncertainty –
I know. I still would have taken it.
Okay.
I would have taken potentially Elam, the cornerback, instead of Pickett. There are numerous people I could have taken instead of Kenny Pickett. Now, let me just say this. Of the quarterbacks in this draft, I will completely and wholeheartedly agree that Kenny Pickett is probably the most pro-ready and is probably the highest quality with accuracy and consistency and the most ready to go now. My point from the beginning has been this. This is not a quarterback class I am inspired by. So I would have gone any direction other than this. I guarantee you one of those three guys at this point would have been there in the second round if they really wanted to do it. I just wouldn't have. But all that being said, I will support Kenny Pickett wholeheartedly.
I'm just upset that you said you would support him more than Mason Rudolph. He's still the guy.
I had no support for Mason Rudolph. I said Mason Rudolph was a backup, and that was all he was ever going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking to my guns.
Well, this is where it really goes off the rails. And being a later show where we're all lacking sleep and maybe all of our other vital signs are falling at this point. But number one overall, I was making fun of Zach. I was thinking about the jersey thing, and I'm like, oh, geez, he's already got the Trubisky one on the way. And it's like, I'm thinking about what's in my closet, and I'm like, I got a Rudolph one hanging up in there. And I'm going to have to buy, like, two more quarterback jerseys. I didn't even get to wear the Duck Hodges one, for God's sake. So, I mean, it's collecting mothballs. I was going to get maybe a Harvin the Third nameplate for the back. And, yeah, we've got some comments about there's some people who like the Pickett pick, and there's people that are talking about the small hands being good.
Pickett pick, dude. He's the future, bro. And they'll probably give him number eight. No, Carl Joseph has it right now. They're going to take that, dude. He's the red shirt safety. He's a practice squad safety. He's not starting. So
should have never given that away anyway.
Give us number eight.
That was the Tommy gun number. But Brian's going to sit here. I know he's not liking it because people are like, shut up about the small hands, but other people are bringing up the fumbles. Any kind of fumble problems, and you got the Duke that you got to put in your hands.
Yeah.
I make a deal about the small hands because it's mostly sarcasm. Like, look, it's mostly this. Okay. Small hands thing is mostly sarcasm. But yes, there is some concern when you're holding a bigger ball and you've got guys swatting at it. That's really not the primary concern with Pickett. In my mind, it's more about whether I think any of these guys are guys that were worthy of a first round pick. And I just didn't. I didn't from the get go. And I still don't. But he was their first round pick. So I hope it works out, because if it does, I'll be happy. And if it doesn't, I will not be the one that says I told you so.
No, that's more than fair. And this is where I was sitting with this. And I'm thinking to myself, what I finally settled on was a lot of people said, well, next year's class, but the Steelers have good defense. And, you know, Mike Tomlin doesn't have losing seasons. And what if they make the playoffs again? Would they be in a, they won't be in a position to draft a quarterback. Maybe we saw what, five of them go in the top 15 last year. And then we've seen all kind of crazy trades where people jump ahead. So I said, you know, if they have their pick of the litter here and they get like the top one or two guys, whatever they have on their board, I'm okay with doing it because the draft came to them. They didn't have to go and get it. And I don't feel a lot of people were like, well, I've seen comments like liking this to Jarvis Jones. And it's like, this is going to be the worst first round pick since Jarvis Jones. And I'm like, yikes, that's kind of bad. I mean, even if the quarterback completely bombs out, this is what all of these teams go to do. And the Steelers didn't have to spend, do anything extra out of the way, out of the ordinary. And there isn't a whole lot left right here on the board. You could say all you want. Maybe a guy is there at 52. Maybe they're not. I don't know. If you let the draft just kind of come to you, we'll end up seeing it. Pickett ends up being the only guy going in the first round.
Let me make this point as well. Every year we say the same thing. People overpay and they overdraft quarterbacks, right? There's a reason nobody overdrafted a damn quarterback this year. Okay. That, like, you can't have it always. Oh, it's just, you know, this year they didn't do it. They always do. If the value they think is there. Doesn't mean they're right, Brian. But, you know, quarterbacks get overdrafted. And if no quarterback is getting overdrafted, if the quarterbacks fell to them at 20, that's telling you that the other teams didn't see them as worthy of being pulled up. I'm not saying Pickett's going to be bad. I'm really not. I don't know. It's just I would not have taken the chance. I think there were people that could have been building blocks for the defense to continue to keep it elite. I get your point, Joe, that they probably were going to be, if the defense is solid enough, maybe they're an 8-8, 9-8 team. Maybe they sneak into the playoffs and they're in the somewhere in the middle again, and they're not getting CJ Stroud or somebody else that comes out next year. Bryce anyway, or, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
10-7.
I'm sorry.
10-7. Because there's another game.
10-7. That could win the AFC North. We talked about this last year.
Got that extra game.
Yeah, 17. Yeah, it threw me off too, man. Don't do that. I'm not accustomed to it yet. I still can't get used to the Las Vegas Raiders with Ice Cube wearing an LA Dodgers hat at a Vegas draft party. I don't know. That was kind of driving me nuts. But yeah, here's another one I think we're going to need to discuss, though. I think everybody all of a sudden, whether they like it or whether they don't like it or whether they hate it, everyone's going to say it's the first round pick. Everyone's going to be excited come training camp. And then you're going to get to the preseason. And maybe Kenny Pickett beats up on a couple bums because these guys have come fresh out of college with that type of pedigree. That's what they usually do when they're playing against the third string future grocery baggers of America. The players that aren't going to even make the practice squads that are going to be cut off of the 90-man rosters. And then they're going to be begging for him to play. And I can almost guarantee it. Unless Kenny Pickett comes out shot out of a cannon like this, I don't envision a world where Mike Tomlin puts him out on the field or even has him active on game days unless there's an injury.
You're going to know quickly, right? Look, these guys, I think all three of these quarterbacks are going to get their opportunities in preseason to start a game, all right? So they're not all going to be playing against scrubs in the third and fourth quarters, right? Pickett will probably get his chance to be in the first quarter against potentially higher level competition. Trubisky's going to get that chance. Rudolph's going to get that chance. Because I don't think they know who the hell their starting quarterback is at this point.
No, that's a fantastic point. What do you think, Zach? You think there's any chance that Kenny, week one starter, we talked about this, no matter who it was going to be, the Yinzers are going to be just banging down the pitchforks and torches, banging down the door, banging down the gates.
Yeah, I think Kenny's starting by week four. I think Kenny's starting by week four, dude. I think, you know what, it's one thing. It's not Malik. It's not Malik. It's Desmond Ridder. Kenny Pickett was the pro-ready guy. And I was all in on Mitch, dude. I really was, and I still am. But the thing is, Kenny Pickett wasn't like a sit for a year project. He's not. He was the one who was supposed to go to the Panthers because he was the one who was supposed to be ready to go right now, pro ready. I think, sorry, I'm honestly being like, I'm trying to cap my own expectations and my own like excitement and say, I was going to say he's going to start week one, but I was trying to give you guys a little bit of a, like an airbag with this blow right here, because I really think that I think Kenny's going to be start by week four minimum, honestly, because he's pro ready. That's the thing. And I like Mitch, but Kenny wasn't drafted. He's the first quarterback taken in the whole draft, dude. And he's our first round pick. I really don't think if it was Malik, absolutely. He'll sit all year. Desmond Ridder, possibly all year, maybe half the year, but Pickett, his whole, like one of his whole, like, attributes and the things that people love about him is that he's ready to go right now. So I think we see him as a rookie start a few games. That's minimum.
I mean, that's important to say he was the pro ready guy. What's up, Brian?
Nothing. I'm just going to say if he wins the competition, I can see him starting week one, right? If he can remember, you know, Trubisky came out of college and played 1 year, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he wasn't ready when he got out of college. I mean, Kenny played for four full years on and off. Had one really stellar year, mediocre the rest of the time. But Mitch, it's still more experience. He's probably got as many snaps and as many plays as Mitch does now.
Yeah. You know,
in his 4 years of college. So it's not going to be a total shock if he wins the competition. But if Mitch wins the competition and doesn't stink up the place, right? I don't think Kenny starts. I think he has to win it out.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. Because they're not going to pull Mitch if they're winning, right?
Yeah.
Even Absolutely. If he has an off game. Yeah, they're not going to just they're not that quick to the trigger. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like, well, you had a bad game, but we're 4-1 and you had one bad game. Now we're going to Kenny. will say that. Yeah. Oh, we lost a game. Kenny has to come in now. Mitch is done. He got us through four games.
Yeah. If Mitch wins the job, he is a long leash for sure. If he wins the job, he is a long leash for sure. I agree with that. Absolutely.
I mean, Mike Tomlin left Ben Roethlisberger in without the X-ray machine or was going to. And then there was the X-ray machine thing and with the Raiders and all of that jazz. And he pulls him right back out onto the field when Josh Dobbs was throwing a couple errant passes there back at the old Oakland Raiders. I don't know, guys. I'm not the same on board with thinking. And Brian, you're going to love this comment that's from one of our viewers here on YouTube. And he's like, I'm not sure that Pickett beats out Mason Rudolph. And I'm not sure which broadcast that you were watching, the rest of you guys. I had all three of them going, but I had the audio going for NFL Network. And NFL Network, Rich Eisen, it's the Steelers pick. The pick is in. And it was either him or it was Charles Davis. And one of the two had said they already have Kenny Pickett on the roster with Mason Rudolph.
I've heard that comp as well. I have absolutely heard that comp. I don't – look, and you know what I thought of Mason. I don't agree with that comp. All right. I don't agree.
Kenny is so much more athletic, dude. He's so much more athletic. He's so much faster. That is not a good comp at all. Not at all.
You know what's funny, though? We all like ragged on Mac Jones and who had the most success as a rookie. It was the immobile doughboy.
I still don't like Mac Jones. I'm on that hill. I still don't like him. I'm still on that. I was not impressed that much by what he did as a rookie to regret what I said last year that I don't want the Steelers to draft him. I stand by that. I would not be excited if he was the quarterback this year at all.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah,
I stand with
you. We're all shaking our heads.
Firmly, my brother. I stand with you. Doughboy, no.
We stand with Flash. I mean, there were people that were talking about that. Why didn't they move up to try and get Mac Jones? And you're just scratching my head. But somebody had said, what if Mason Rudolph beats out both Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, the local Yidzers.
If that happens, we're in trouble.
And somebody else said Mason needs to go to the USFL.
We'll be drafting another quarterback next year. That's what happened.
Mason needs to go to the USFL. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not an Edmonds type reach. Stop with that. We are Edmonds stands here. Remember, Morgan Burnett was supposed to start that first year. This is why I'm like firmly of the belief that Mike Tomlin said he wanted a veteran quarterback. He went and got one, and he's got another one on the roster. If you want to call Rudolph with his like 10 games or so of spotted experience as a veteran, but Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid, I mean, they don't throw him out there to the wolves to let Alex Smith play. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years before he took over for Brett Favre. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, you might be pro ready, but do you want to ruin the guy? And
it's the difference between what you're saying. If he wins the job,
yeah,
that's a different story. I don't think you rush him just because all the Yinzers are like, oh, new toy, right? Absolutely. You don't. If he ain't ready, then you don't play him. But if he wins the job, he wins the job.
And that's exactly where I'm at with that. Is you could be patient. That's the name on the jersey, Pittsburgh Steelers, and this is a little more stable. This isn't like one of these other situations. I mean, even look at the Saints. You've got Dennis Allen jumping in there. You've got a new coach. You know what I mean? Matt Rhule, if he would have went to Carolina, you have to win right there. The Atlanta Falcons, that's not a situation where any of these quarterbacks would have flourished, I don't think. But at least with the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin has been there. And I get sick of seeing that too. Let's really see what Mike Tomlin's going to do now that he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, true and false. He didn't have Ben Roethlisberger a whole lot of other times either. Do you remember Dennis Dixon and Charlie Batch and Michael Vick and Byron Leftwich and Landry Jones and even Mason Rudolph and the Duck? And we didn't get to see Gronkowski. He got like three, I think, snaps in that playoff game. He never really got to play, but just about every backup almost got some type of PT. But with Ben Roethlisberger, and they were at least keeping the ship afloat because Mike Tomlin still, I think he still does a heck of a coaching job given the pieces that are around them. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. And somebody said, oh, they're going to draft a quarterback because they will go to camp with four quarterbacks and they will have three quarterbacks on the roster. And I'm like, how often does QB3 even get a helmet on game days? I mean, this might be a thing with the clipboard. I mean, that's why they signed Mason was still the insurance policy. And I don't think that their plans changed because of Dwayne Haskins either. There was some speculation with that. And they said, well, Dwayne Haskins, what happened there? That forced their hand. And I don't think that forces their hand at all. It just would have meant that somebody is getting cut out of the four names that we mentioned there. So I guess it'll be a wait and see. Kenny's going to get rookie camp. He'll be eligible to throw the ball around for the next 2 years, so he'll get some extra reps. It might not have to if he ends up winning the job. They won't risk doing that again, of course, the following season. He may even take it light, and they'll bring somebody else in. May end up being their camp arm. Might surprise them, just like Duck Hodges did, who, by the way, retired. I'm not sure if you guys saw that. So
I did.
Canadian Football League and everything like that. Hey, he's got a bright future. That guy could be one of the Duck Dynasty type people too. But
M Squared gave him a bunch of grief.
Yeah. When doesn't he?
I know.
Not our favorite guy. What do you think? You know what we're talking about, right, Zach? M Squared rhymes with Madden.
yeah. No, I picked up on it for
yes.
sure.
Yes. Not the biggest fan there. So fellows, what are we thinking about maybe as we're heading into not quite tomorrow. We're already past the midnight mark. Here on the live show for all of our 2%ers on YouTube. So what kind of targets are we looking at for tomorrow in the draft?
Wide receiver.
Yeah. I would say to go along with my mock, I would say wide receiver. You know, I mean, that's what I thought. I thought Malik was the target and they went with Kenny Pickett. So, I mean, I saw a quarterback coming and they went with Malik or they went with Kenny Pickett. Jeez, how many times is that going to happen?
I don't know. How many adult beverages did you have tonight? It wasn't McDonald's, or it was McDonald's with a Diet Coke.
Two.
How big were those two, Zach? Like, this big?
They were, the big Iron Cities.
They were eight fingers for Kenny Pickett. Eight. But yeah, I think receiver. They could go receiver. They could go corner. They could go O line. They could go D line. There's a lot of places they could go, but I would hope receiver.
Yeah, I'm looking wide receiver. Is it absolutely wide receiver that could pick? I don't know.
Depends on what's there. They will go BPA, but focus on wide receiver.
For sure.
Sorry, I had some Roger Goodell booing that may have gotten picked up here in the background. It was coming into my headset. Well, you know, NFL.com's got to throw the video right in your face no matter what you do. But I was looking at a list of players that have not been drafted yet. And you've got N'Kobe Dean, yet another defender out of Georgia, linebacker out of Georgia. Of course, Malik Willis. But what if the Steelers went two quarterbacks? I know they would never do it. Kevin Colbert wouldn't do that. And somebody else was also mentioning in the comments too, there was, I don't know if it's the same person that was doing so, but they were talking about, well, when the new GM comes aboard, and for those of you who haven't joined us before, it's been a while. I understand you don't necessarily pay attention to all of the offseason news, but we've mentioned many times when you don't have a dumpster fire franchise, your general manager schedule is from draft to draft. That's your calendar year, because they're going to start scouting right after this. They go through the whole college process. They don't have just like 2 months to prepare for the NFL draft. And usually when you do find a general manager and it's a new hire, it's somebody that was already doing this process with another franchise anyways. So they're not exactly missing in action here, but we're expecting an internal hire, and there's two candidates that are available, and Brandon Hunt's probably the favorite. So more than likely, they're already in-house and they're on board with whatever is going on this weekend. So I'd be surprised otherwise. And I don't think that anybody that they bring in to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the organization, would hire someone that's just going to clean house and start getting their own quarterback and their own coach and all of these other things. It's going to be somebody else who fits the standard is the standard type deal. So
that's not the way they operate.
Now, Breece Hall, running back, Boye Mafe.
Boye!
Yes, Boye. Boye's still hanging around. Andrew Booth is still there, corner.
Travis Jones.
That's crazy to me. I can't believe Booth slid that far.
Yeah. Kenneth Walker. I mean, none of the running backs went. Arnold Ebikete.
That's not that crazy, because Najee is sensational and generational. That's not surprising to me at all that no running backs were taken first round. None. Literally, I did not think one would go first round, not even for a second.
Yeah, I didn't either. It didn't seem like a very strong draft for that. So we'll have to take a look here. Let's see, who else do we have? Looking at maybe wide receivers. I'm tired of looking at quarterbacks. Jalen Petrie, safety out of Baylor, is still hanging around. Yeah. Bernard Ryman, tackle Central Michigan. Nick Benito, another edge rusher. Sky Moore. Somebody who's been very favored in our mocks, as was one of your guys, North Dakota State wide receiver Christian Watson.
Yep.
Sam Howell still there. David Ajabo, Logan Hall, Roger McCreary, Jaquan Brisker. I mean, there's really, I mean, I'm almost getting into the 50s here now with some of the names. Nicholas Petit-Frere. So Leo Chanel, we were saying. George Pickens. I think someone already said that in the comments. We've been pretty high on the wide receiver out of Georgia. We'll see. Some people claim he didn't interview well, but that's like a classic type of Steelers move as well. But I'd love to see Sky Moore fall there. Also, Nick Cross, the safety out of Maryland. So there's still quite a few names. John Mechie, the third, Alec Pierce, quite a few. And we get two of them tomorrow. Was it 52 and 84, I think? Is it 84 for the other one? So we'll see. We'll see if the Steelers end up moving anywhere around. I know some people are making their comments on what the exact needs are. I think anybody who's added to this right now, if it's a wide receiver, they'll see some decent playing time.
Yep.
Offensive line, sure. Anything else is probably depth at this point. They have all of their starters, and even Kenny Pickett, maybe not a
starter. DL is the other question mark, because we don't know what Stephon Tuitt's status really truly is. So...
Yeah, press asked once again.
I know. What? Well, they're going to keep asking, but they're not going to get an answer. You know when they're going to find out? When training camp comes.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily fair either, because he was out there running around a little bit in shorts, but they never did truly get him on the field. So everybody, it was almost like the TJ Watt type deal where everybody was talking their smack and saying, well, Watt isn't there, blah, 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 blah. But anyways, there's your guy right in front of Heinz Field, Brian. I know you're terribly excited about the small hands. Joe Burrow overcame. He overcame and conquered. I think we lost the flash. I think maybe something cut out on his end, but that's okay. We are...
It happens with a live show, baby.
Yeah, it does. So we are up against it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We told you we had a surprise for you. First live show. There's a Bengals fan who jumped in here. We can't wait to play you guys. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Like, can you install, like, something? Like, you got the most boring stadium in the NFL. Like, it is literally boring. But my old alma mater in Youngstown built a concrete block in 1982 that has more personality than Paul Brown does. It's just terrible. And the Bengals don't have an indoor practice facility, and they're trying to get some taxpayers on the hook for that now, too, Brian. I don't know if you saw that. So as well as I get the needle, that's fine. But, hey, Bengals made some nice off-season additions here. I'm not going to.
They did. And I love their pick. Yeah, well, the Ravens, I love their pick. So,
and I like the fact that the Browns had no picks. Oh, good for
them. I love that even more than almost anything else.
That is the best. So, don't forget to like and comment and subscribe, folks. And until next time. Well, first I'll introduce our friend who is off screen now, a one Flash Zach Celedonia. Thanks for taking the time late to join us and all of our SCU family out there. My name is Joe Kuzma, and that is Brian E. Roach. As we do each and every time on this show, we encourage all of our listeners out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.